We're going to be in Isaiah 53, read verses 3 through 9, and then we're going to spend some time in prayer, and then we'll get into it. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 9, reading from the NLT, it reads, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of all of us. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he had died without descendants, that his life was cut short in the mainstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave." Pray with me. Father God, we don't know what to say. And we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us the words to say, Lord. And as this Good Friday, we come before you, regardless of where we are at in our relationship with you, Lord, we come humbly before you to thank you, to reflect on what you have done through your Son on the cross, Lord. And as we've read from Isaiah, Lord, that no one had cared. And Lord, now we get to care because of your Son. Lord, reveal to us anything that you want to reveal to us, Lord. Use me however you wish. Let me say what you want me to say. Don't what you don't. Prepare all of our hearts, especially mine. We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen. You may be seated. So we're going to be walking around through the gospel, and if you're going to try to catch up, don't worry about it. We're just hopefully going to look at the entire picture of the gospel through all four gospels pulled in together to get the full story. And the first thing that comes to my mind is Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Christ was even born, and yet in detail, he describes exactly what would happen to our Savior. 700 years. And then going through the Gospels, which we will in a moment, I just imagine what the Gospel writers were thinking when they sat down to write out what had happened. Different authors had written 20 years, 30 years after these events. And I just imagine these men who were not that old, but old enough and not quite yet to their own martyrdom, and what they would think, exactly what would they think going back to that night at the cross? How would it be to sit there and write down from first view perspective what had accounted for? So we'll pick up in Luke 22, verse 31 and 36. And this is right when Jesus is talking to Peter and calls him Simon. In verse 31, it says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." Right there, Jesus is talking to Peter saying, something awful is going to happen. But remember, I have prayed for you. And when you have repented, bring others with you. Verse 33, Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. Mark writes it this way. On the way, Jesus told them, all of you will desert me, for scripture says, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Peter said to him, even if everyone else deserts you, I never will. Luke writes it this way. So they arrested him and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. And the guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. So they sat in a courtyard no bigger than this room. And here is Peter. And a lot of times I feel like I personally pick on Peter. I put myself there and I think, man, if I saw all of the miracles that Peter had done, that Jesus had done in my lifetime in person, I would never deny him. But yeah, on this side of the cross, how many times have I turned away? So then I take out Peter's name and then I put my name in its place. And then I reread, Dallas, Dallas, Satan has asked you to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded and prayed for you, Dallas, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. And then I would say, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. But Jesus would say to me, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow, you will deny me three times. Then I try to justify, I wouldn't do that. Well, maybe I would, but that's okay. All these rational things would go through my mind, and all this week as we're preparing for this, I just keep thinking, what would it be like to be sitting down and writing this as an old man, as the author of a gospel? Even now, reflecting back and looking over my life, my heart knows I'm saved. I've accepted Christ as my Savior, but my mind, how quickly my mind goes back to the times that I have sinned. Even sinned so cleverly that I don't think anyone sees it. But he continues on. And now in Luke, there's a fire going on in the courtyard again about this size. And Peter joins the fire. And a servant girl notices him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I am not, Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. But how did he get here? 30 verses before, the morning before, Jesus had just told Peter that he was going to deny him. But what did that look like? In Matthew explains it, that after Jesus had been arrested, in Matthew 26, verse 58, it says, meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's court. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. Of all the times reading this, I missed it. Except this week when I read it, I understood perhaps maybe a little more. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance. This is vastly different than what Jesus told Peter to do earlier. Remember when Jesus told Peter and the other disciples, follow me? He said, follow me. That word means become a part, a particle of what's going on with everybody else. He did not say, follow me from a distance. Specifically, in Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." He did not say, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me from a distance." Going back, Matthew explained it again. Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's court. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. "I just want to check it out. I don't want to put both feet in. I don't want to fully give my life to Christ." That's not what he said. Earlier in Matthew 4, when Jesus is calling all the disciples, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people. Come and follow me, be a part. Don't follow from a distance. Pick up your cross and follow me." In Matthew 26, Peter swore again. He said, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I do not know that man." And immediately the rooster crowed. John writes it this way: Peter denied it once more, and immediately the rooster crowed. And Mark says, Peter swore a curse on me if I am lying. I don't know this man you are talking about. And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Sin is sin regardless of the form that it comes in. Sin of omission, sin of commission. Sin of commission means a sin that you do, a bad thing, a wrong thing that you do. And sometimes as Christians, for those of us who are Christians, perhaps our sin sometimes is a sin of omission. We don't do what we know we are supposed to do. I mean, just the other day, walking down the street, there was a guy who asked me for something. And I didn't even stop to think about it. And then I read this again. I would deny him, turned around and go back. How quickly it is, sin of omission. But you know, sometimes sin becomes slowly acceptable to our lives. You may be sitting in your seat right now and saying, "Surely not. I've been a Christian for 5 days, 1 hour, 70 years. Surely I've not accepted sin." But what tends to happen is in the stories that we read and in the movies that we watch, we want the bad guys to get what they deserve. We want revenge, maybe restoration. But what about the main character in the story who has done something wrong for a good cause? What about when, like in The Count of Monte Cristo, when Sir Edmund Dantes is going to get revenge for being locked in prison unwrongly? And we celebrate. Maybe more it's like Robin Hood, and we're like, at least he's robbing from the rich and giving to the poor. Maybe for those of you who watch Despicable Me, and you see that Gru, he's a villain, but he's adopted those three girls, so he's not that bad. To be okay with sin as long as we like the story. If it's a bad guy, then we are all for righteousness. Then I look at we go on further on, and this is the hardest part, perhaps, besides Jesus actually being on the cross, is now we have a villain that we don't have to like. Maybe we can sympathize with Peter and the other disciples who ran away. But what about Barabbas? Remember him? It was customary during the feast of the Passover for a customary pardon. So Pontius Pilate goes over to the crowd and say, "We can either release Jesus or Barabbas." Matthew calls Barabbas a notorious prisoner. Mark and Luke, tell us that he was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder John calls him a bandit. Looking into him, he apparently was the worst of the worst. But yet if we would have been there to see this going over and over again, as people yelled out that they wanted Barabbas to be released. How could you possibly release a villain in place of Jesus? Again, Peter swore, "A curse on me if I am lying. I do not know this man." Again, John says Peter denied him once more, and immediately the rooster crowed. Peter swore, "A curse on me if I am lying. I don't know this man that you're talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Luke, back to Luke. Listen how Luke writes it. Verse 60. He writes, "But Peter said, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' And immediately, while he was still speaking those words, the rooster crowed." Verse 61. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So at this point, Jesus is being beaten at a post. The customary at the time is no more than 40 lashes. So that meant he got 39. And we see later that Matthew describes how the soldiers mock him. Verse 28 of Matthew 27, it says they stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him. They wove a thorn branch on his crown and put it on his head. And they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then he knelt before him, and they knelt before him in mockery, taunting, "Hail the King of the Jews." And they spit on him, grabbed him, the stick, and struck him on the head, which had that crown. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put on his clothes on him again. And they led him away to be crucified. That's what was taking place. When we read, immediately while Peter was still speaking, "I do not know that man," the rooster crowed. And at that time, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind: "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. That you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Luke would go on to say that the guards in charge of Jesus began mocking him and beating him. They blindfold, "Prophesy to us, who is hitting you?" And they hurled all sorts of terrible insults at him. And as we read in Isaiah, that was predicted 700 years before that. That was prophesied before that. 700 years before that, he did not say a harsh thing to them. There's one thing to be caught when you're doing something wrong. There's another thing to be caught right in the middle of doing it. And there was Peter, so surely, less than 24 hours before, saying, "Surely, I would die for you." But yet he denied him three times. But then again, we look at Barabbas and we think, what an awful character, what an awful person. Surely, we are not him. Luke goes on to describe the death of Jesus. Verse 44, it says, "By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light was from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, 'Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands.' And with those words, he breathed his last." John describes it. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, "I am thirsty," and a jar of sour wine was sitting there. So they soaked the sponge on it, put it on a hibiscus branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. So I don't know where you may see yourself tonight, as Peter, who has promised that he would follow Jesus to the very end. I super promise I'll never do that again. Perhaps some of you, like me, feel more as you read that you are more like Barabbas. That how could God possibly forgive someone awful like me? But God loves the Peters of the world. He loves the disciples that aren't even mentioned and the people that aren't mentioned. God loves Barabbas. God loves Peter. And God loves me. And God loves you. In his great plan that is so hard to comprehend, to wrap our mind around. Yeah, maybe I would die for someone I super love, but to die for Barabbas? For a best friend who betrayed me? But not God. In his great plan, he knew he was going to treat Jesus, his son, like the criminal that we are. In order to treat the criminal like his son. He knew he was going to treat Jesus, his son, like the criminal in order to treat me, Dallas, like his son. He knew he was going to treat Jesus, his son, like a criminal in order to treat you as a son or daughter. To think immediately as the writers of the Gospels were sitting there remembering this time, describing differently what stood out to them, what was important, and who they were writing to, the description of how Jesus was beaten. But all to realize, to understand that it was for God's great plan. So that way, in verse 30 of John, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. So that way, the punishment that we deserve to die and be separated from God was fully placed on Jesus Christ, our Savior. For the remaining of the service, we're going to spend some time taking communion individually, and we'll do that. But before we pray, I just ask you to reflect on where are you at in this story in your walk with Jesus. And I wish I could tell you that being a Christian for so long means you do not sin anymore, but sadly it just means you become more and more aware of how bad your sin is. No sin is greater than the other, but all sin is awful. But I can reassure you that he who knew no sin became sin for our righteousness. So let's pray. Father God, we come before you so humbly before you, Lord, as you died on the cross. You said it was finished and you meant it, Lord. It's hard to wrap our mind around it. Lord, for those who have not yet accepted your son as our Savior, Lord, we know as we have read from Isaiah that we are like sheep that has all scattered. In Romans, you tell us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory, of your glory, God, and that you made a way for us to come back to you through your Son, Lord. I pray that for anyone who has not accepted you, that tonight could be the night. Lord, I also pray for those who have been walking with you, who have had a personal relationship with you. Lord, I just pray now that you reveal to us if we have been acting like Peter, if we have been following from a distance and not following by your side. Lord, if we have sinned by omission or commission, if we have sinned openly, outright, just because. Lord, I pray also that if we have sinned in hidden or in secret, Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's something that you have asked us to do and we haven't yet done it and we've made 100 excuses why. Lord, and we just come before you as humbled people. We thank you for the cross. We know the story doesn't end there, Lord, but tonight, that is where we're at. To read that the nails were pierced in your hands, the nails in your feet, Lord, is because of us. We're the ones who held the nails. We're the ones who were in the crowd that cried out, "Crucify." Lord, but you were so willing. And you did, and you died for our sins. Lord, so as we come before you, just reveal to us what it is you want to reveal to us. We love you. We thank you in your name. Amen. So again, we're going to have two songs, and we have communion at the tables. Go and take communion. Communion is for anybody who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The bread, when you take it, remember that it represents Christ's body that was broken for you on the cross. And then the cup represents his blood that was shed for you. And as you do that, remember Jesus' words on the cross. It is finished. He has fully taken your sin. Just let him. Let's pray one more time. God, we come before you. We thank you that we can come and take communion tonight, the night that signifies what you've done on the cross. Lord, let us not leave this room unchanged. Lord, let your spirit come through us, to us. Lord, speak to us. Lord, let us not sit here and think that we're better than the disciples, better than Peter. Lord, we're not. We're just another sheep that is scattered, as your word says. We're just your children who are waiting to go home with you through your son. Lord, let us bring one more with us. Lord, give us boldness to share the good news. Let us not be shy. Let us not sin in that way through omission. Thank you again for dying on the cross for our sins. You're so good. Thank you that you're good and we're not. But we're sure thankful. We love you so much. Amen.